It is great to have you on the Family Goals podcast with Davey Pollock and Pastor Jay. I'm Jolyn House, and on this podcast, we want to encourage you to grow closer to God, to strengthen your marriage, and to inspire your family to reach its highest potential. I would like to highlight a ministry that I have loved for years, Compassion International. Compassion is an incredible organization that is all about releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. They currently serve over 2 million children and their families in some of the most poverty-stricken areas of the world. And here is my favorite part. All of this is happening in the local church. Compassion is all about equipping the local church so every single child is cared for by the leaders in their community. As a pastor, I found Compassion to be a strategic part of our global mission strategy. As a church, we've incorporated Compassion into our focus on Honduras. Compassion made it easy for everyone in our church to put their faith in action by caring for a child in need. I would encourage anyone listening to learn more about Compassion, sponsor a child, and release them from poverty in Jesus' name. Visit compassion.com/family goals to sponsor a child today. Pastor Jay and Davey are continuing their convo on the Beatitudes. Take a listen.
I saw the look on your face when I broke out the knee high. It's a new episode.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Family Goals Podcast.
I'm going to be very abrupt. We appreciate you tuning in. What is that?
Okay, so this is a knee-high orange soda. I got one for you, one for me. So one of the members of our church, Jennifer, cooked them dinner and went over to their house. So this has
51 grams of sugar.
51 grams of sugar. And so what the guy told Jennifer was it has 102% of your daily need of sugar. And he was telling her that he loved her 102%. Like he was, now this is like a gentleman in his 80s.
Okay.
So he was trying to win Jennifer over. So he gave one of these. He used to drink these when he was little. And I thought, Pollock's going to love this. So apparently you need 50 grams of sugar per day. I don't even know the stats on this.
So it says added sugar. So it's 51 grams of added sugar. You don't need added sugar in your diet. There is no percentage on added sugar because you don't want added sugar. Natural sugar is fine. Okay. Fruit has natural sugar. Food has natural sugar in it, period. This is just straight sugar water. I apologize I don't know why you're making me do this on the podcast because I'm crapping on his knee highs or whatever you heck you call this thing, but this is straight trash. You might as well just take a thing of sugar and dump it in your mouth and pour water in there.
Would you drink this right now?
No.
I got a $100 bill in my bag. What, could I give you $100?
No, absolutely not.
I said, I'm going to bring $100 and see if Pollock will drink this for $100.
No, not even close.
Would you drink it for $200?
Nope.
Let's keep going.
There's not a number. I don't think you're going to get to a number what where I'm going to drink 51 added grams of sugar for absolutely no reason. That is dumb. That is and people do this on the regular. You drink Cokes. You drink this stuff. Like
I knew you were going to love this.
The fastest way to be out of shape is to have sugar. Sugar is Satan. Like, that is horrible.
Now, you've told me many times.
Yes.
You're not supposed to drink your calories.
No.
Right?
Don't drink your calories.
Yeah, so
you want to get a rise out of me right to start the show. Nice, and it worked. 51. Golly. Yeah, just read your label, guys. When you're drinking something, read your label. It's not hard. If it has a lot of sugar, stay away from it. Like, there's a reason that you get out of shape, and that's a large part to do with it.
Yeah, I like to try to get a reaction. So we're in the LSU pullover.
Yeah.
I was trying to get a reaction out of you at your little Georgia fan
You're
fest.
A little irritant. That's what you are. I like that. He's a troll. Jolyn, your dad's a troll. The older he gets, he's
trolling
a troll.
You right now.
He's an absolute troll. How about that?
Trying to get a rise out of you.
I'm kind of so excited that it had such an influence on you.
I just can't believe this is real business and people drink.
I'll let you take that home. You can put it on your shelf.
You know what? You could put this on your shelf for 6 years and it'd still be fine. You could still drink it with that much sugar in it.
So I want to follow back up this week on my original thought.
Okay.
In order to be incredible, you first have to be credible. And we were beginning to talk about the Beatitudes.
Yep.
And so the first one we talked about, if you be poor in spirit, And so Jesus, in his famous Sermon on the Mount, and I was thinking, okay, preaching. I mean, of course, this is the greatest sermon of all time and the greatest sermon that was ever, which was ever preached. And so the beginning of any sermon is like the most important thing. Like you say the most important thing first, and you want to
hit them with the headline and back it up.
Grab people's attention.
Yeah.
So you've been doing a lot of speaking, and so you want to grab someone's attention right off the bat. So this is Jesus' greatest sermon ever. This is the very first thing he says, and so he wants to grab their attention. And so he says, God blesses those who are poor. So you want to grab someone's attention right off the bat. So this is Jesus' greatest sermon ever. This is the very first thing he says, and so he wants to grab their attention. And so he says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. So that was the first thing, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And the second thing he says, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So what are your thoughts on that?
What
that
does
God
that mean?
Blesses those who... Well, I did some research here.
Oh, you got your fingers twiddling together, so you looked excited over there.
Well, it's more mourning for the sins of the nation, like a mourning, like a burden for the law, like mourning for people who don't know Jesus. Like our heart breaks for anyone who doesn't know Jesus, especially people in our family, friends that we have, and we talked on the podcast earlier about our kids' friends and want to reach our kids' friends. And so we're mourning, we're lamenting the sins of the nation, or we're mourning for those who don't know Jesus. We're praying for revival. Jesus said that we're to have compassion on people who don't know him, sheep without a shepherd.
Well, and you can never, and we've talked about this before, but like you can't hold people to a standard that doesn't exist in their lives, right? Like I can't treat somebody who's a non-believer like they're a believer and hold them to a standard because they don't have a standard that they're held to. But you have a standard you're held to. I can hold you to a standard.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important. I think another thing too about, you talk about speaking, another thing too is knowing your audience. Like that's a big deal. Like I think a big deal is knowing the relationship you have to someone. Because not every relationship is the same, right? Like everything, you know, kids are dependent on parents. Parents are the authority over kids. Me and you are friends. You're my pastor. You know, like we don't have this, not everybody has the same relationship to them. And you got to understand that because you have a lot of influence. Influence would be a better word. You have a lot of influence over people and you can use that influence for good, but you can also use that influence for bad. But I think understanding the relationship to someone you have and understanding that helps you become more sympathetic towards them, plug into their lives better, have more influence over what they say and what they do or how you can impact them.
I think that's a great point because if you have a relationship with someone that's built on years and years and years of trust, like you and I, like we've known each other for years and years. So you trust me, I trust you. I could have a harder conversation with you. Like I could really challenge you on something or you could challenge me. You could call me out on something. And I would take it better than someone I don't even know calling me out on something or challenge me. So I do think like the speaking, like at Greystone Church, I've known people for years and years and years and years. And so it's easier for me to speak to a group of people that officiated their child's wedding. I spoke at their mother's funeral. Yep. I went to the hospital when they were battling cancer. So I have a relationship with them that they're trusting what I'm saying and years and years and years of kind of the credibility that we're talking about. Now you're flying into Texas or California or Savannah. They don't know you.
No.
So it is a little bit different speaking to people that you don't know. So
but I do like that. I do like what it's saying there. I mean, first of all, I love the poor because it's really the ones that are in need. Like the poor are the ones that are crying out, the ones that are in need. And then you talk about the lost are the ones that are in need.
In greater need.
In greater need. They're lost. They're trying to find their way. Both those the poor and the lost need help.
Yeah, so we mentioned Honduras in our last episode. They're poor financially, but they're rich in spirit. That like 60% of Honduras is Christian. So we're also planting a church, and we did missions work in Scotland. Well, they're wealthy. Like they.
Every time I hear the word Scotland, I have to say it in an accent in my head. Or I see Mel Gibson from Braveheart.
That's a great movie. But in Scotland, they're spiritually poor. They're less than 1% Christian.
Yeah.
So Jesus is addressing the, okay, financially poor, but now he gets into the to the spiritually poor. And I can't remember if we talked about this on the podcast or not. So Jennifer spoke at church, and she was like, after the first service, we did the second service, and then in the message or in the second, she's like, I couldn't remember if I had already said it because I'd already said it once, you know?
That's hilarious. And that shows you were getting old, by the yeah. way. Did I say that in that one, or can't remember?
I can't remember.
I think I said something to Lindsay the other night about, oh, I want to say that on the podcast, and she was like, you already did. I was like, oh, crap, I did? She was like, yeah, you've already said that.
That's what I want to. I can't remember if we talked about this on the podcast or not, but you texted me one time with the question, if Jesus answered every prayer that you prayed this week,
how many
new people would be in heaven? Basically, are you praying for your lost friends and family? And that's a convicting. I can't remember if we talked about
that. We talked about it on the pod, but okay. Man, but that thing rocked me to the core because my answer was zero for that week. Because
so much of our prayer requests is revolving around
kids, wisdom, my wife, people that are hurting. But it's been cool. Again, it's been a cool and an eye-opening thing because with the kids now. But you know what's funny? The longer it goes away from you hearing and reading that, the more it slips back. You slip back into some of your old ways until you hear it again. Then you're like, crap. Like, and then I see somebody that me and Lee are praying for this specific girl all the time. I'm not going to say her name because I get in trouble with that with my wife. But right. We're praying for this specific girl. We're praying for this specific boy. It was really cool the other day. One of Nicholas's teammates last Wednesday got saved at Greystone. It was amazing. But it was... We've been praying for other names, other specific names, but it was another one of his teammates. So that is
so cool.
I was like, that's a win. I told Nicholas, I was like, you got an opportunity now. Like, go say something to him, help him, pour into him, you know, like give him a, I think a lot of us, you know, they're searching for who to hang out with and who to be around. And I was like, go be helpful for him. Go be a light for him now.
I think a practical tool, and I've gotten away from this, but I was just reminded of it just now, is keeping a top 10 list. And I think that's something we could do with our kids. And I haven't done it in a while, but keeping a top 10 list of people that I'm praying for that would come to know Christ.
Yeah.
And then you're praying for it every day. And then maybe your kids have a list with your kids and y'all are together praying for it. And then like this kid who became a Christian last week, I mean, how exciting is that to check that person off the list and then add a new person?
We should do a prayer schedule or a prayer calendar or something like that to help people with prayer. I mean, I could use it as well, but to help you write down. And because there's a lot of different ways. I've met with different pastors before and people before, and it's always interesting to find the way that they do things. Mm-hmm. So I know a lot of people have a specific day of the week that they pray for a specific group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, like Mondays for their friends and family that are lost. You know, Tuesdays are for leaderships and people in leadership areas. Wednesdays are for, you know, their kids or specific things about, like, it's interesting, but it's different ways to make sure you stay on task. Once time goes by, I start to slip away. And if you can do a journal or if you can do things like you're talking about, a list of something that you have to look in front of you every single day, every single week, it'll help organize your thoughts a lot better.
Well, it's impossible to pray for everything every day. So dividing it up, and of course you pray for your spouse and your kids and, you know, certain things every day, but then, you know, different days of the week, you could pray for different churches, different groups, different family members or friends.
A lot more likely to succeed if you write it down.
Yeah, break it up, write it down. Maybe we get Lindsay to organize this for us.
She's got a calendar for that. calendar that has a calendar.
She is amazing. All right, verse 5 says, God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. And so I was thinking about mean, Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount here, he's talking about humility. And then he was the greatest example of humility. And I'm thinking about taking it to the cross, how he humbled himself. And if you look at Philippians chapter 2, it kind of goes through the, we're to put other people ahead of ourselves. We have the same attitude of Jesus. And it says that he humbled himself and went, you know, went from heaven to earth. And even the humility of him hanging on the cross for our sins. I mean, just the, Jesus is the greatest example for us in so many areas, but I think humility even more so. What are your thoughts on humility?
Well, and even how to handle quarrels, how to handle difficult situations, how to handle stressful situations, because I think it's very easy to live out your faith in everyday life when everything's going well, but man, it's a lot harder to be a man of faith when tempers get hot and people say something and attack you. And so I think that he showed you too in difficult situations he didn't want to be in, you know, situations that were storms, you know, situations that were things that were going on, but he always handled it easily. He didn't fight, turn the other cheek, right? Like, I think a lot of us, I'm around a lot of parents, and we've already talked about this on the podcast, but I want to reiterate it again. Like, I'm around a lot of parents that say that their kids are tough, but you shouldn't take that. You should fight. Really? Like, is that really what we want to teach our kids? You're not teaching your kids toughness. You're teaching them to be a butthole. And you're teaching a kid that is 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, that they don't understand situations in life and what's going on. But what if we teach them to always stay out of the situation, not get physical, not throw punches? Oh, he's a sissy. No, you're not a sissy. That's strength. Like, that's real strength. And I think we're so manly, masculine. We want to show toughness. Well, I got news for you. In this generation, this day and age, it only takes one real act of toughness to be dead. Mm. Realistically. I mean, you see it all the time. You want to play tough and something happens. One moment, one instance, one fight. Like, but are we really showing our kids, like, that's not...
You know what I thought of when you said that?
What?
Was Coach Rick's testimony.
About Pablo.
Pablo.
Yeah.
Because the guy rolled up, tough guy. They were going to fight or whatever, and the guy pulls a gun out.
Yeah, and you're gone. Yeah. I mean, but I think that's a fun model. It's a fun pursuit. It's something that I can be really, really good at, but the situations that I have to be better at are those ones when it gets high anxiety and when somebody says something to you that's cutting, or somebody says something to you that's rude or about your family. Like, that's where I get a little bit, you know, your muscles get a little bit tense and you want to do something about it. And then, you know what ends up happening every single time? After every time I've made a smart out comment to somebody, I've had to apologize. You got to go back and apologize regardless. So can we be good enough, or can we try to be good enough where every situation where we zip it down and in the moment we show that greatness, like in the moment we show how to be humble. How to just take it no matter what it is, no matter what the situation is.
So what's your practical encouragement to Nicholas? Like, if someone's bullying him,
we've talked about this a lot.
Him, I mean, how do you want him to respond?
Get out of the situation. You know, get away from the situation. If you're in school and something like that happens, then find an adult. But under no circumstances are we throwing punches. Like, that's the last option if you can't get somebody off you. I'm sure dads out there are thinking that's soft. No, it's not. That's not soft for me. That's what I want Nicholas to do. I want him at all costs not to get in a fight. Like, do I want him to defend his sister? Yeah. I'm also not telling him to knock somebody out because somebody says something to his sister. That's also not what I want. Like, yes, I want you to stick up for your sister and I want you to be a good big brother, but that doesn't mean we have to take it to the 100% over there. Like, stand up for her. Take her out of the way, like, get her out of the situation, make sure everything's fine. But I'm not trying to escalate this and make it physical. And I don't think that's what a man looks like. And I've been in a lot of fights on the football field. I've never been in one off the field ever in my life. But I don't see how that proves anything besides the fact that I'm petty. I'm letting my anger get the best of me. There's nothing about that I feel like is in that book right there. Not in the New Testament, anyways.
Well, I think with Jesus,
not in the New Testament.
So Jolyn and I are reading through the Bible in a year, and we've been reading through the Old Testament. And
did you start in Genesis?
We start in Genesis.
Okay, where are we at?
We're in Joshua. Well, we're in...
you don't know.
Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles.
Pretty solid.
But he texted me a couple of weeks ago. We were in Joshua. He's like, Joshua is wild. Because all
that
these,
man is crazy.
Jesus, God is telling them to go like... kill all these people, you know, like win the wars and kill the whole nation and the women and the like
even
like,
when you're outnumbered
it's like
by
the
a lot.
Opposite of what Jesus is saying.
Well, they were taking over these cities and plundering and killing literally everybody, but that was God's command.
Yeah, he wanted to wipe them out.
He wanted to wipe them out.
Joel was like, this is the opposite of Jesus, you know, so it's a. It's been good. It'll challenge your faith reading through the Old Testament.
100%.
There's a lot of crazy stories.
Nicholas is going through it in school, and he's the same thing. He's like, whoa. He was like, this is...
They're reading the Old Testament in school?
No, well, he does. Nicholas is a... He reads... I've told y'all this before, but he's a big reader. And I told him, I was like, dude, what if you... He reads, you know, 400 or 500-page books a week at least. Like, he loves to read. And I said, what if you picked up your Bible? Like, what if you started reading your Bible? And he went... Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, like that. I mean, and I started in the New Testament because I know he'll catch me. So I was like, I'll get through the New Testament while he'll catch me and get through the whole Bible because he just loves to read. But it's definitely conversations, and you're like, whoa. And you're like, listen, this wasn't written at the same time. This isn't the same. Neither is the New Testament, by the way. Like, we got to understand the difference between old times, what the differences were, language barriers, all that stuff. There's a lot that goes into understanding the Bible. And then there's a lot of it that I look at and I go, I don't understand that period. Why do we do that? Why is it like that? But there's, and I told him this, this is exactly what I told him. I said, but there's something God has for us to learn from it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. And some of it's horrible. I mean, some of you reading, you're just like, what the heck is, why? Like what? But there's something to take away from this that it's there for a reason. It's in his holy book for a reason.
Biblical principles. Yeah. Biblical principles are timeless and they can be applied, you know, to every season of life. And that's why Jesus was so radical. And even him talking about the Beatitudes here, it was completely opposite than what some of the things you're talking about. Like we should live our lives completely different than the rest of the world. And the some other dads are saying, you know, stand up for yourself and fight and whatever. And you're saying, turn the other cheek and be humble and, you know, avoid the confrontation. But when Jesus is teaching the Sermon on the Mount, this is blowing them away because he's talking about poor and humble.
Well, and the poor were looked at like what in the Bible? When you were poor, you were looked at like what?
Like, well, you were like lower.
You were lower than low. Lower,
yeah.
Like there's a reason you were poor. Mm-hmm. Like you weren't, it wasn't hard times. You were a bad person. Like there was a reason that you were chosen to be poor and you were horrible. Like that's why I think that's important too, is because Jesus is like, no, you ain't better than him. And we all need some of that in our lives because we have a tendency to compare and look at other people. And I know I do. I can definitely justify myself very quickly and look at other people and that I'm not that bad. No, it's not. That's, I think he's going to smack you in the face right away.
Yeah. Jesus' teaching was very radical. So after humility, he says, verse 6, he says, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. And some translations say righteousness, hunger and thirst for justice. I think my interpretation of is those who are seeking to do what is right. Like, and that's kind of to your illustration with Nicholas is not doing what's popular, but doing what is right. And I went back to Micah 6:8 says, "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." So what are your thoughts on...
It's hard.
...doing what's right?
It's hard to do what's right. And I think it's... In today's times, it gets blurred quickly of what's white. What's white and wrong. You know, and it's something we talk about as a family all the time is like, we want to do what's right. We want to stand out. We want to be set apart. We want to be different. And it takes intentionality and it takes being okay with being made fun of, being okay with being different, not being included. which is tough, you know? But I completely get it. It's going to be, it's probably going to be harder for kids than adults because adults, you're past that. Like adults, you understand it, you get it. Nobody cares about high school anymore. Nobody thinks about high school anymore. But when you're in it, you think it's the biggest, you know, biggest deal in the world. And so it's tough. It's tough being a parent that's negotiating that with kids, and because it's got to be their walk. It's got to be their life. We can't be like Jennifer talked about weeks ago on Mother's Day. We can't be helicopter parents. I don't want to be a helicopter parent. I know she liked being a helicopter parent. I don't want to be a helicopter parent. Like, I think we have to let them experience it. We have to let them fail. We have to let them have those consequences. And then you learn from it and learn what, you know, what not to do. How did I perpetuate this? How did I make it worse? But I think it's increasingly tougher for kids to, because there's so much that shows them that social media is good. There's so much that shows them that sex is good. So now more people are telling them that's good than more people are telling them that's good. And I'm talking about them pointing to the Bible.
Right.
So that's a hard dynamic that you got to be willing to say, no, that's not my truth. That's not the way I live my life. You can do it. And you know what else is tough? Like, it's also tough not to raise Pharisaical children. Like, in turn, it's also tough to be like, man, okay, I'm not going to live that way. That's not the way I've chosen to live. That's not the way you should live. But wait a minute, don't point fingers either. There's another thing that's difficult. Yeah. I don't know if you've had things with that in the past, but I'm like, well, yeah, they're different. They're doing this a different way. We're going to do it this our way, but at the same time, we're trying not to judge them and say bad things about them. But you do realize, like, it isn't right. So that's why parenting is hard, man.
I agree with you because you want to do what is right and you want your kids to do what is right. But you don't want to judge somebody else because everybody has different convictions. And so we studied the Word of God for ourselves. Different people interpret it different ways. Well, this is what we believe is absolute truth. And I love that, kind of getting back to the Word here, it says, do what is right, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. And so one of the stories that Jesus tells, story of the sheep and the goats, and kind of the end of times, and he's going to come back, and he's going to separate the people between the sheep and the goats, and the sheep are going to be on his right, and the goats are on his left, and then he goes on to say, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me, and then they're going to say, well, what do we do for you, and he goes into all of these things that we're talking about here, but caring for the poor, caring for the person in prison. You know, clothing people who need clothing, feeding, you know, and they're like, well, when did I do this? And he says, whatever you did for the least of these, you did it for me. And so I think teaching our kids that, I mean, these are a lot of the things that a lot of parents aren't talking about. And I know you're trying to put your kids in situations where they can care for the least of these.
Yeah. But
to me, that's what's doing what's right.
Correct. But the question is always, you know, every summer we talk about this, like how do we find more of those opportunities? And like you talked about, the mission trip to would be awesome, like with Compassion, with to go see your kids over.
We're gonna make that happen.
Unbelievably amazing. But it's hard to find those opportunities because of where we live and what we have. Like we Americans have excess of all, everything. Like we have a lot of things, so it's definitely tough. We got to be purposeful with that with our kids to show them that, because me and Lindsay are always looking for opportunities. We don't do the best job of finding them all the time.
Well, that's a good segue into the next one, which is verse 7. It says, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And I think sometimes you don't have to look for opportunities. God brings opportunities right in front of you. So people who are in need, people who are in stress. I was thinking about the story of the Good Samaritan. And, you know, Jesus tells that story because Jesus says to love God and love your neighbor. And then the guy says, well, who is my neighbor? And then he goes on to tell the story of the Good Samaritan. And so as God brings people across our paths every day, we can be kind to them. We can show mercy to them. We can care for them.
So how do you teach your kids to be compassionate? You're compassionate. Right.
I mean, you have to.
I mean, it's 100%. Like, for example, and this is layman's terms. This is sports terms. Sports terms always work, I think, for everybody. How do you teach your kid to be a great teammate? If you're a parent in the stands that only cheers for you, your kids are doing that. Your kids are going to cheer for themselves. They're going to cheer for one person. If you're cheering for everybody, you sharing everybody's success. That's a small way. Mm-hmm. Like it's a small thing. I know. And that's a small psychotic little area, but that's definitely an area that we can teach our kids to love everybody, cheer for everybody, celebrate everybody, like go out of your way to make sure that you're kind to people. And it's the same thing that we should be doing. Like Nicholas, he'll get annoyed all the time. He's like, you'll sit there and talk for people for 15 minutes. I'll ask you who they are. You didn't even know their name. I was like, I don't know, but there was a reason I was supposed to talk to them. I mean, something was supposed to come about with this conversation. I don't know what it was, but something will come about, you know? And I think it's, but we definitely.
You never know the impact. So this, I can't remember. I met this guy. I can't remember where I met him. Somehow he knew you and I were friends. And I don't know if he knew about the podcast or whatever.
Friends, we're acquaintances.
You're starting to sound like my daughter. Because she has this huge differentiation between a friend and an acquaintance. But anyway.
I would love to hear her definition of that one day, but continue.
So anyway, I can't remember. I'm getting old, man.
Yes, you
can
are.
Can I blame it on COVID that I can't remember?
No, it has
things?
Nothing to do with COVID. But you talking about somebody you met, then we knew we were friends.
So this guy runs into you at Dick's Sporting Goods or Academy Sports or somewhere in some store.
Okay.
But long story short, he said that you sat there and talked to him for like 20 minutes. Like you just kind of, he came up and introduced himself to you and you just started. And he was so impacted that you talked to him for 20 minutes. And he just spoke so highly of you and how great you were. And I was like, well, do you really know him?
Did you get to know him? Because, oh, you must have had caught him on a good day.
No, but he was so impacted that you would just spend the time to spend 20 minutes of your life, you know, talking to a total stranger.
But just like everything else, you know, like all the qualities about your kids that annoy the crud out of you is what you've modeled. It's probably what's in you. It's what drives you nuts about them, but they're going to continue to make it. Like whatever you model, they're going to make it. Like they're going to continue to be like it. So, I mean, that, honest to goodness, I think I grow more spiritually and as a person now just because I know my kids are always watching. Like the level of accountability is just totally different. Like with the phone, with how I talk to mommy, like how I communicate with other people, what I say, you know, I mean, it's just, it's interesting because I hear it more. Leah just turned 13 the other day. Nicholas is 14. And I hear it, whatever I've said, whatever jokes I use, whatever saying, smart aleck comments I use, like they all come out of them.
Let's finish up on these Beatitudes. Verse 8, he says, God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. Pure hearts, pure motives, purity. Any thoughts there?
Well, pure hearts. I mean, just ones, I don't necessarily think a pure heart, it's not a perfect heart because we're not perfect, but we're trying to be perfect. We're trying to do our best in all situations. We own up to situations that we don't. Just pure, just trying to do what's right. On the path, going to step off the path, but once I step off, I'm going to step back on. That's how I kind of think about it.
Kind of being authentic, being real.
Yeah, I mean,
being having the right motives. You're not doing things to fool somebody or trick somebody or trying to be something that you're not, which of course, great example with the kids again.
Oh yeah.
Cause you can't hide anything from them. All right, let's move on. Peacemakers. Verse 9 says, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. And the whole idea, you know, I think that's where so many people are confused about Jesus because they thought he was coming to lead this revolt. But he was really the Prince of Peace. I mean, he came to bring peace. He comes gentle and riding on a donkey, and they were wanting him to take over. Of course, the context of the time is the Roman Empire was in control
of to make him king.
Jerusalem. They were wanting him to be king. And he said, "No, I'm coming to bring peace." And I think this goes back to what you were saying earlier about how we should be different. You know, we're not looking to cause fights or get into fights, but we're looking to bring peace to situations.
Well, and I think Lindsay did this in a Bible study a long time ago, and she came home from a Bible study and she was like, "Oh my word." And I was like, "What?" She was like, "All this time I thought about you and how you're kind of confrontational and you say things to people and this, that, and the other." She was like, "We just went through a Bible study and you're a peacemaker." And I was like, "What?" She was like, "You don't say things to people to hurt them, but you say difficult things to people to try to bring peace to their life. Are you a peacemaker or a peace faker?" Because there are people that, "Oh, that's tough. That's sorry. Or do you really like try to bring peace and try to help people with their lives and try to help people with their struggles and try to lay out thought processes or talk through things? And do you come beside them when they're struggling?" I think that is one of my favorite things to do in life. When people are going through something hard, man, I want to fight with them. Like, I want to jump in there and start swinging with them. Like, as much as I can, send them text, whatever. Like, are you a peacemaker? Are you really trying to find peace? Or are you trying to be a butthole and stir up stuff and drama? There's people like that as well. But, you know, or then on the other side, are you peace faker or peacemaker? I thought it was very interesting when she came home from a Bible study and said that, because it's easy to just kind of fake it and not really be in it to try to help somebody. But helping somebody peace is...
Yeah, I haven't thought about it that way. But if someone is going through something difficult or something challenging is happening in their lives, instead of just patting them on the back and saying,
"Good luck.
Oh, it's going to be okay. You're going to be fine. You didn't do anything wrong." You're kind of coming in with saying, "Hey, how can we correct this? How can we do better? How can we solve this? And I'm willing to help you do it."
Yeah.
So,
I mean, what did Jesus talk about? Like, you're... Those of you that walk by somebody that says that doesn't have anything and you just walk by them and, "Oh, peace be with you. I'll pray for you." You didn't do anything for them. Right?
Empty words.
It's empty words, empty right? Words. Like, we walk by somebody that needs something, but we don't lift a hand or we don't do something to change their situation. And listen, we're not going to see a lot of people that we walk by that need food on the side of the street. We're not going to see that. But you are with people on the regular, that you see people that are hurting, that could use a little love, that could use a little nudge, that could use a little more positivity, maybe just a text message that, "Hey, dude, thinking about you, praying for you." You know, I mean, something like that that you can always help try to bring some peace.
Yeah, I was just thinking, too, one of the ways you create conflict is to talk bad about people or to gossip about people, stir things up. And so not being someone who's stirring things up between people, but someone who's bringing peace and helping people reconcile those relationships.
Yep.
So, all right. And then the last one, he talks about the persecuted. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing what is right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
That makes me think a lot of things.
First, it
makes me think that we think we live a life of persecution. Just read your Bible. Like, start reading your Bible and see what. Just start with Acts.
We personally don't know anyone who's being martyred for their faith.
No, start
being
killed
for their faith. They're being thrown in jail for their faith.
Start with Acts. Work your way back. I mean, you're going to see a ton of that. I mean,
I guess persecution in our world would be getting canceled, maybe.
Yeah, or missing out on worldly things, missing out on popularity. Things we talked about earlier, missing out on worldly things, you know, that,
or maybe not getting invited to a certain party because people know that you're different. You're not going to be participating in what they're participating in.
Getting called names that you're going to be different. You're going to be different kind of names, and you're going to be the Bible thumper or the Jesus freak but no, that real persecution. If you read your Bible, you can read about some, I mean, it's just amazing. And that's what I told my small group last week. I was like, "Dude, if y'all really read the Bible and you realize that, you know, all the authors, all the books, so many people that went through so much to make this happen, that gave so much of themselves, of their lives, and we could go down the list of people in the Bible, like, you're not giving up that much." mean, your decision.
And there are people all over the world who are being persecuted.
Yeah.
And being thrown in, you know, out in the Far East and the Middle East. I was thinking about standing, you know, we will get persecuted if we're standing up for truth, if we're standing up for justice, the sanctity of life. I mean, that's a huge issue. Winning the war on abortion, gender issues, standing up for marriage. Like there's a lot of, you know, and Christians are being tainted as judgmental, but really we're just standing up for the truth and what God's word said and trying to teach our kids.
We can be judgmental truth, too,
but we can be judgmental.
We can be a smidge judgmental. We can be a smidge Pharisaical, but things to work on for sure.
So credibility, living credible lives. And then he goes on to say that we would be the salt of the earth, the light of the world.
So to close this episode, I once heard a quote from the great philosopher, Pastor Jay. And what is it?
If you want to be incredible, you first have to be credible.
Boom.
Thank you for listening to this week's Family Goals podcast with Davey Pollock and Pastor Jay. God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. So through Compassion, we sponsor hundreds of children who may be poor in wealth, but they are rich in spirit. Their hope is not in this life, but in the next. So ours should be too. And Davey's question is super convicting to me. If Jesus answered every prayer you prayed this week, how many people will come to know Jesus? How often do you pray for the lost? Is your mind on heavenly things or earthly things? Let's focus our gaze this week on Jesus and on things above. Join us in creating a prayer list of 10 people in your life that you want to see come to know Jesus. Let's be eager and expectant in praying for these people. If you found this episode helpful, encouraging, or entertaining, please let us know by subscribing to the podcast or by writing a review. You can also reach us on Instagram and Twitter at Family Goals Pod. Thank you again for listening to the Family Goals Podcast, and we'll catch you next week.